Tonight at 7 o'clock for the live service from Calvary Church. Rochelle is behind the knobs and buttons and things that put us on the air engineering today's show. I want to thank her for that. And she'll make sure that you get to hear the service tonight as well. It's an outdoor service at Calvary Church tonight. I'm thinking the weather is expected to be beautiful. And although it's kind of warm through the day here, in the low 90s, it's the high desert. It cools off pretty quick when that sun goes down. So it should be a beautiful night to sit out in the amphitheater at Calvary Church Albuquerque on Osuna and be a part of that outdoor service. Join us for that. Or you can tune in here and find it streaming on the website or Calvary YouTube page. Hey, I want to direct your attention to June 27th. That is Freedom Celebration at Balloon Fiesta Park. It's going to be quite an event, as always. Starting like as early as 4 o'clock, a lot of the activity gets underway in the fun zone. There's a car show, extreme sports, the food trucks, and then later in the evening, the music takes the stage. We'll hear from Chandler Moore, Lecrae, also Ben Fuller, Rave Jesus, all of them. You'll find details on the website at freedomabq.com. And, of course, our local citizen worship takes the stage as well. I think they kick it off to lead us in worship on that evening. So, and then, of course, it's time spent with Andrew Palau on stage. And then Skip Heitzig delivers a gospel message. It's going to be a great evening. Closing it up with fireworks. That's usually about 9:30. But thanks to all the sponsors that are being a part of this and so much more. FreedomABQ.com for details. You'll also find it at Love NM. The details about that and some of the other events, the Palau's will be a part of leading up to it. All right. Some great stuff to cover today. In the second half of the show, we'll bring you some ministry update with Steve Stucker. And Carla Sontag joins us in studio for the first half of the show with Better Together New Mexico and the New Mexico Business Coalition. Carla, welcome into studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's been a month or so. And you've been, you've fancily been traveling abroad.
I have. It actually helps in the work that I do.
Yeah.
To visit other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially love going to those who were formerly communist controlled.
You see the future.
I do.
You see what you hope is not the future.
Yes.
Yeah. The socialism and what's happening in Europe.
Yes, and why we need to change our ways in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And, changing our ways, I'd love to bring it back to this, looking at life through a biblical worldview lens. And that is, you talk about life change, that's the way to make change. And now we should be active in the public square and be, inform each other on what's going on and be participants. However, in doing so, we've prepped for that through our lives dedicated to Christ. So keeping the main thing is what's going to, God willing, help not only our country, but the globe. And, we've all read the book. We know how it ends. But while we are here, and while Jesus tarries, it's our task, right, to know the truth and stand on the truth and represent the truth when we're active in the public square. How's that?
Yeah, exactly correct.
Well, I haven't spoken with you since the primary. I'm assuming you're out of country, but you voted ahead of time. I voted on Election Day.
A lot of people wanted to do that this time.
I didn't want to. I just I ended up being out of town the week before, hadn't gone to early voting yet.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing that. But I will tell you, it was pretty much I walked in, went right to, and get my. It was not. It was a lackluster turnout.
Yeah.
Is that what you found?
Yes. Even with the early voting, that was true. Although Bernalillo County actually had a larger turnout by a little bit than statewide averages.
Percentage-wise, then, yeah. Okay.
Just by a little bit. I mean, but we're still looking at a total of under 25% turnout. It's
of registered voters or of population?
Registered voters.
Okay, why register? I mean, 75% of people who are registered to vote. Any research there on why they're not going to? Are there not candidates that interest them, or are they just apathetic? Or
well, it's some of all of that, but at the 25%, that's about where New Mexico's hitting in general. And this has been going on for years. It could be a little more, it could be a little less. This, interestingly enough, normally there is a higher turnout in the interim elections of a presidential. And this is actually lower by a little bit, the turnout, than we had during the presidential. So New Mexico needs to cut the apathy and get to the polls.
Yeah. So am I looking at this correctly? Those that are registered Democrats statewide, 574,373 turned out. And
no, that's the total number of eligible voters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But I know when I was watching the election returns, it seems like if a party got out to vote, it was the Democrat Party. There was more overall votes. And the only race I was really watching there was the primary for the governor.
Right.
And if you added up all the candidates from the Republicans, it still was less than the amount of votes for the two Democrat candidates.
That's true. That's true. And it's kind of, it could be a signal of what's ahead for the general in November.
I don't think it is a great surprise to people on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
Simply because, I mean, there's not been a Republican a governor since Susana Martinez. And before that, I think it was Johnson.
Yes. But that was a pattern where we were going, New Mexico would go Democrat, Republican. It was switching back and forth. So following that, it would be time for a Republican to come in. That'll be seen in November if that happens.
Well, and if you're not registered to vote, there's still, even though you didn't vote in the primary, you can register to vote.
You can. I mean, we've even got same day voter registration. You can go in as an unregistered voter and register and vote the same day. So this is the first time we had the semi-open primaries, and the there was about a 10% turnout by those independent voters, which is pretty good because I don't think there was enough education about their ability to vote.
Yeah.
But about 10% turned out, and they requested Democrat ballots over Republican by 3-1.
Okay.
And they had a choice, you know, when as an independent, you can pick either ballot in
right.
a primary.
But once you're on that track in the primary, is that then the party you've chosen to?
No, not at all. You stay independent. And of course, it's open ballot when we all go in.
Oh, this is true. This is true. Yeah, because Republicans can vote for a Democrat. Yeah. Okay, well, just kind of taking a look at what's happened, not only statewide, but this, you know, stuff that's happening nationwide. You wanted to take some time today to discuss the organization, which I think I've heard of before, Emerge, and you know what it does, and really how it impacts us here in New Mexico.
Yes, and I think that voters need to become acutely aware of this group. So they're very effective. They are nationwide, as you said. They have New Mexico as kind of their shining star example. Their whole focus is to recruit, train, and support progressive women. So they don't do conservatives, they don't do men, they only focus on progressive women. They recruit them, train them, and get them elected.
And we saw that happen in Deb Haaland was part of training through Emerge.
She was one of their early graduates, yes. And that started her track. When I said they're effective, they are very effective.
Yeah.
They have a lot of money that pours into their causes, which brings up the point of Deb. You saw millions of dollars coming from out of state, not from in-state voters, to support her campaign. And that is a lot of it through the Emerge Network.
You know, and I don't know if Emerge had any part in this, in the training and the strategy that, you know, before the primary, I remember watching commercials. And what I heard was, you know, to protect us from Trump is what I heard.
Right.
It was interesting to me because I thought, man, you would think it'd be more effective to say things like, I want to protect the New Mexico people from this policy or this, you know, be specific about things that were concerning.
Yes.
You know, not just, and this kind of goes back to kind of TDS, but the thought of protect us against whatever he's going to do. What if he, you know, the example's been used. What if he solved cancer? You know, if he, you know, protect us against. So it was interesting to me that it wasn't more specific to policies than to a person. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know if we'll see between now and the in the election in November for the gubernatorial election, if there's more dialogue about policies and top, you know, things that that each candidate can show. I don't know. Do you anticipate that there'll be debates?
I don't know. Deb Holland has said that she would debate, but that remains to be seen because her campaign is against Trump and she wants to capitalize on that. And if you look at where the nation is right now, there's a lot of division over Trump. There's a lot of division between the parties. And Trump has become the focal point for one of the parties, and it's all about that. It's against him. It's not pro-America,
yeah,
pro-New Mexico.
Or anti-policy or anti,
yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, I mean, I've been voting, since I was 18, you know, in the 80s. And I just don't know if I remember so much being about, you know, anti-person rather than anti-policies. So I sure would like, I'd like to see discussion come back where people are talking about this party represents this. And actually, some of the things that, you brought to talk about today, in the event that the Democrats hold the highest office in New Mexico after the election in November, some real concerns that you have moving forward with some House bills.
Well, yeah, and it's an example. So they recruit, train, get these people elected. And what happens is if you look at in Santa Fe right now, we have by percentage more Emerge women graduates serving in the legislature than any other group as a whole. So more than the attorneys, more than, now you may have an Emerge graduate who is also an attorney serving in the legislature, but there are a lot of Emerge candidates. And what happens is they have a program that they are following nationwide. It is the push to socialism, and they have many tactics of getting there. And if you have someone that is serving that is not with them on the agenda that they're following,
yeah,
they will take them out in the next election or try to. So we have this proliferation of Emerge candidates, and that's why it's critical that people have an idea who they are and what they want
to accomplish. Is that fairly new to the parties? You know, before it was so progressive, say, with the Democrats, because there's some Democrats that buck against the far left and
yeah, but not too many of them serving in office anymore. If you look at that,
right,
it is the Emerge candidates,
right,
who have taken out the common sense Democrats.
But before it was the progressive Democrats that were kind of leading the party, whether it was Republican or Democrat, was it not unusual for someone who kind of pushed against party, ideology that they would be primaried out?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But not the party. It's the Emerge agenda.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The Emerge agenda has trumped the Democrat Party platform and what they're doing.
Yeah, which is kind of what we said for a long time, this progressive tidal wave.
And they've been around for a couple of decades. They're not new, but why are we talking about it now? Because there is so much of this going on, and you see some of the policies, for example, the Immigrant Safety Act, when we are putting foreigners' safety above our own people, we are demanding that we don't
above Americans.
Above Americans.
Yeah.
And we're not participating with agencies like Immigration and Customs that want to protect us and get rid of the bad people. We're protecting them to stay here. That's one example. That's going to cost us a lot of federal jobs when they try to, they will be shutting down our ICE facilities. And then there was House Bill 124. New Americans Division. This is within the Department of Workforce Solutions, taxpayer funded. And again, this is a resource for people who are not residents. And we're putting their needs above the education, the crime, the health care of the people who live and pay taxes here.
Yeah.
And these are Emerge type policies.
Yeah, you know, and I would encourage the body of Christ to really prayerfully consider how they will engage in this conversation when it comes to, like you said, Carla, people who are in this country illegally getting the benefits of taxpayer benefits.
Everybody's programs. Welcome, but come in and pay your way.
Yeah. And you know, to ask that our representatives help to have us represented at least as high, if not more highly, than non-citizens, but then also as Christians to find a way to share the love of Christ with. And listen, there's a lot of people who are here illegally who are doing sinister things, and there's some that are here, you know, illegally, which some would say, well, that's sinister. When I'm, you know, violent crimes as opposed to some who broke the law to get here and are trying to find a way for their family that as Christians we can minister to. However, balance that with what we're talking about, these areas where government agencies are benefiting non-citizens more than the citizens who live here.
And taxpayers are paying for it.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to go to our website at bettertogethernewmexico.org, all spelled out, and you can find two articles there under news on Emerge with some podcasts, and you can really start understanding their agenda, who they are, what they're doing. This is part of a five-part series, and two of them are posted so far.
And that's NMBiz.
No, BetterTogetherNewMexico.org.
And you got to write all that out, but do it. It's worth it. BetterTogetherNewMexico.org, and go check out that series. Hey, we're up against a break. Carla, can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right, we've got more to cover when we come back. We'll do it after the break on ABQ Connect. Well, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Hey, Steve Stucker in the wings. We're going to catch up with Steve on all things Freedom Celebration related and other ministry that Steve's been involved with and is involved with. And God willing, we'll continue to do it. But we'll get an update from Steve here in just a little bit. Wrapping up with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. And as we mentioned just at the end of the last segment, they put together a multi-part series you want to go check out at bettertogethernewmexico.org. Carla, we move on to some stuff going on in the North Valley that has some residents concerned, has the business community concerned. And although it's we're talking off the air, although it's taking place in the North Valley, it really has implications statewide.
It absolutely does. And there's a lot of people very interested in this. And this is the construction of a 45,000 square foot mosque and activity center. And you're talking about plopping that down in the middle of a rural community with a culture that has been there for hundreds of years. And it's just, we're finding that there's going to be some compatibility issues there. We are not getting into the religion issue. We are talking about traffic congestion. We're talking about security, parking overflow, noise impacts. And it's a big disruption to the way of life in that rural community to plop something down there like that. There's a lot of people not happy.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly about the infrastructure type things. Since it's, you know, North Valley, Los Ranchos, or whether it deals with that or Corrales, although they have, does Corrales have a police department? I think they have a small police department. Right. But is it equipped to handle a change like that? Or Los Ranchos, is that a village?
Yes, it's a village.
Okay. And with a law enforcement or...
I think they may have some support. I'm not really sure.
But maybe fire. But yeah, this is what you're saying. I mean, it's not like APD and, I guess the one that would be closest tied to it that would have any kind of size in way of safety and security and infrastructure would be Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department.
Right.
Right? Is that essentially what you're talking about?
Yes, because it is part of the county. Wherever they decide to put it, they're looking at different locations. But the community there is very upset. But people around the state, too, are saying, you know, you've got such a crime issue in Albuquerque as it is.
Yeah.
You don't have enough cops to handle what you've already got. And you bring this into a community that is a rural, quiet, peaceful way of life, what are you going to do with it?
Right. Well, and I want to revisit, although you mentioned it, you said we're not making it a religious issue. Whether this was another campus for, one of the statewide or local schools or a Christian church. This one happens to be an Islamic. It's a mosque. It's
right.
A mosque and a community center. It's not about what it is exactly. It's more about what it does in way of traffic, increased traffic. There's going to be parking issues in some of those small, like you said, rural. I think of going through, I don't know where it's going to be exactly or where it's proposed, but, I think of along Corrales Road when you see like Indigo Crow and all these small, kind of Madrid type,
Yeah, they're kind of looking at either 2nd or 4th Street in Alameda, which is a little outside of Corrales, but you've already got these horrendous traffic problems trying to get across the river.
Yeah, when I'm going down Alameda, often I look at it and go, is there room for widening this?
Right.
And I don't know if there is. I don't know if that's something the city planners, I don't know if that's something they've...
But that's what they've got to look at, and that's what we're asking them to do. So we've got a call to action on this, to sign the petition, asking them to say no. And that is, again, because they don't have the infrastructure to support it, and it puts people at risk.
Yeah.
So that petition is posted on both of our websites, and you can find it there under togethernewmexico.org or newmexicobusinesscoalition.org.
But you mentioned off the air, there's a call to action. You're asking people to not only, understand what it is and communicate with those that are going to be making the decisions here, to actually be present. I think you said, is it July 1st?
July 1st, and that information is on the website with this call to action. This is a petition. Rather than flooding them with lots of letters, we're having people sign a petition. You've got to fill in all the blanks. That is a requirement of the commission, not us. So if there's an asterisk, put the information in there, or it won't be accepted for the ballot.
And I mentioned, and you mentioned off the air, and I mentioned going into the segment, statewide implications. Can you speak to that a little more?
Yeah, again, because you're talking about the crime situation in Albuquerque is out of control. We have been 200 officers short for decades.
Yeah.
You put in something like this, you're going to attract a lot of people, a lot more traffic. It is going to create chaos. The reason it's of statewide concern, almost every resident of New Mexico has to come to Albuquerque for some reason at some point.
Bloom Fiesta, well, the fair,
the airport,
relatives, holidays.
So if they're coming here already and we've already got problems, that's going to compound it. And these people that don't live in Albuquerque, some of them are afraid to come here.
If they're coming here, they're spending their money here.
Yeah.
And that's a concern I know of the New Mexico Business Coalition.
It absolutely is. And, you know, our concern is about all of our residents and people who live here and that we're protecting them and making sure that they're safe. And we don't have, above all else, the police force to take this much more on.
Carla, before we put a bow on our conversation, I do want to throw it back to you because New Mexico Business Coalition always has events on the calendar looking forward, you know, whether it's the Heroes events or there's other events that you do throughout the year. And I know, you know, not only are you working on these issues that we talked about today, but planning those big events, you know, that's no small task.
Yeah.
So I know it's on your radar. What can you tell us about what's upcoming and how the listener can be involved?
Well, Heroes is September 19th, and we would love to have you involved. We are recognizing and honoring the families of fallen first responders. The proceeds from the event are for scholarships for the children.
Love that.
And between now and then, we will hold another bash, a business and social hour. We just don't have one scheduled, and we'll be announcing that soon when we figure it out.
But if you go to nmbizcoalition.org and then on the menu, just go to events, you'll find the Heroes Banquet that's coming up in September. Any need for not only attendees, but sponsorships and donation? You doing a silent auction or anything you need help with?
We won't do a silent auction this year, but we definitely need sponsors and we need attendees. We want to show the honor to the loved ones who have lost someone, and we want to raise money for the kiddos who've lost a parent in the line of duty. So it's really a good cause, and that's where the proceeds go. And if you can help with that event, we would be honored to have you partner with us.
And then I want to draw people, both websites, but Better Together New Mexico. I anticipate coming up to November, there'll be some things there that the listeners will want to go and see to be educated before they go cast their vote.
We will have a huge amount of voter information. We are going to be highlighting the contested races from the state legislature, and we'll do a side-by-side comparison of the two candidates. And I think it's going to be really critical. You're going to know if they're an eMERGE graduate. You're going to know what their position is on certain policies that impact your life. And then you can make a better informed decision. We always document our facts so you can double-check what we're telling you.
Very good. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. Always appreciate your time and look forward to getting you back. You know, if you're not traveling worldwide.
I'm done with that for a little bit.
I'm actually happy for you got to do this. There's got to be, although you were saying you had a glimpse that what could be in our future, it's also a little respite, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And the people are wonderful. And I'll tell you what, there is no more pride that you can find in a country that was once communist or socialist and to be free now.
Yeah.
They love their freedom.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Thanks, Carla. And hey, we're going to take a break, come back and catch up with Steve Stucker and find out what's going on ministry-wise. That's right after the break on ABQ Connect.